Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello this Sunday morning. Good morning to you all. This is Victory House of Prayer International Ministries with Victory House of Prayer Radio Broadcast. Welcome today on Super Bowl Sunday. This is February 7th, 2016. And this today is actually, I'm going to congratulate my grandmother, mother, she's both, for her wedding anniversary on today. However, my grandfather has passed on, but they got married on today's date. And it was such a blessing. They were married over 50 years, and that shows how strong of a bond and covenant that they had together. And they had children, and my father was the first child, so I'm just blessed to be a part of this family on this side and on my mom's side. My mom had wonderful parents as well, and they married for years. And today, I don't know if the Holy Spirit is taking us with that, but I don't know if we're taking it as serious as they did at that time. But let's get into prayer and let the Holy Spirit lead us, okay? Okay. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this morning broadcast, Victory House of Prayer radio broadcast on Victory House of Prayer International Ministries with Venetia Lee. I'm the teacher. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We magnify your name, for you alone is God. There's no other God besides you. It was kind of cold this morning. And, you know, the problem I had, I actually had a problem with the car, but I think that you knew that, and I'm at the right place and the right time doing what you want me to do, Holy Ghost. And I just thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to teach to your people about your word. And we'll just say, just speak through me what you have for me to say to them this morning. And we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all of the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, again, we say welcome and thank you so much for tuning in with us to this radio broadcast this morning on Sunday, February 7th, 2016, the first Sunday in the month of February. And I believe next Sunday is Valentine's Day, and it's a day of love. So, God, let me just say God is love. Everything he does for us is about love. So we just thank him for that. Thank him for sending his son, Jesus. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. And we just want to thank you. Now, we just thank you, Lord, Holy Ghost, just guide us today on what you will have for us to say. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's done. Well, come on, people. Grab your Bibles. I normally teach from the King James Version of the Holy Bible, sometimes the Holman's Version, some the International Version. There's different versions for today's language rather than the Old English. But sometimes the Old English have a lot of impact. So I go with the King James Version. So grab your Bible and let's go. All righty then. Okay. We know that God is a God of love. But God has directed me to Psalms 110. And first verse there is, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Verse 2, the Lord shall send the rod of the strength of Zion, which is church, rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Thy people, verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of the holiness from the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. And verse 4, the Lord has sworn and would not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, so God, we know we have an enemy, and that's the devil, and he doesn't like God's people. So we just bind him, and we just lose angels to protect us today and this morning and throughout our year. We decree and declare that this is going to be a wonderful year, and we thank God for that. So Psalm 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments, his praise endures forever. So you have to be wise and have wisdom on doing the work of the Lord. And God called me to teach you guys the word of God. So, and because of that, he's given me wisdom, and I'm a wise person in the word. Sometimes we have people because you know or are familiar with the person, you think you know just as much or on the same level they are on. But I always say this to people who say that. I say, look at my record and look at yours. And if you can say that you've done what I've done, did what I did, then okay. But if you can't say that, I mean, without lying, because a lot of, you know, the devil's a lie. But if you can't say that, just listen up, okay, because I have a word for you. Amen. And Proverbs 15 says, verse 1, and so we won't go there, and be a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So we don't want to stir up any anger or anything like that. We want to have a soft answer. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for that. So praise God. Okay. So let's see where the Holy Spirit is taking us. He's taking us to Ephesians. Okay. Chapter 6, children, verse 1. If you have your King James Version, turn there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou may live long on the earth. Finish congratulating today's date for my grandparents' anniversary, marriage anniversary. And you just see that, to think and to give honor to those who deserve the honor is a great thing. And God admonishes us to do that, to praise our parents. And I know some of you don't have them any longer. Some people were born and didn't have any parents to raise them at all, but you have grandparents to take up the slack and raise them. And these children have grown into grown adults and came out to be great citizens, whereas sometimes you can have both parents and just be terrible children. So it not necessarily is about whether you're doing. Are you raising your children to do what's right, to be honorable people, to be honest and have integrity, to do something great in life? Okay, Philippians chapter 4 in the King James Version, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. God will give you strength to do what you need to do. Sometimes you feel like you can't do it, but he'll give you strength. And verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs, all my needs, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He said, according to your riches, a man's riches. He said, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus is going to supply all our needs. So we don't have to worry, you know, when cars are acting up or things are not acting funny, money funny or whatever. God said he'll supply our needs so we can depend on his word. Amen. So all you need to do is verse 18 in Philippians. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. There be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those, verse 9, that's we're still in chapter 4 of Philippians. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. He said, do those things which you see in him, in Jesus, do those things, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, you can't get your peace from the world. You have to get your peace from Jesus. He's the only one who has true, real peace. And mothers and fathers are supposed to teach their daughters and their sons to become young men, become young women, young ladies. And to do that, you have to know who you are. And having morals and ethics and integrity and to be honest people, that's something you have to be strong in, because the world is not going in that direction. They're going in a different direction. So God is talking about love, so let's go on and speak on love. And Colossians verse chapter 3, verse 17. Okay, verse 16. Well, verse 15, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body, and ye thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So the word of God have to be in you, because you can't do this without it. And that's what a lot of people think, they can do it without God. But the word of God would have to be in you. And then you have hymns and so forth. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So that's God for the family. He talks about the wife, the husband, and the children. That's the family unit. He didn't say two men, because he didn't say two wives and two husbands. He said wife and husband and children. That's the family unit that he ordained, that he called to be, to produce and procreate and have children. Once you have the children, you have to teach them how to live this life and live with integrity. And so 2 Timothy verse 7 in King James Version says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So you have a sound mind to do the will of God. And 2 Timothy verse chapter 2, verse 3, verse 1. Let's back up to verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the kings and the things that thou hast heard of me, there he go again. This is, he said, being like him. Be heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So you have to be faithful to God. God is faithful to us. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So you have to be a soldier of Jesus Christ, because there's a battle we're working in, a battle. We're not alone. So sometimes you want to do what the world say do, but God say do what he say do. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4, King James Version. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. God built everything. Verse 6. And most verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. That's verse 5. So we speak the word of God because God says power in his word when we speak it. Verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today if ye hear his voice, verse 8, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. He said, don't harden your heart. Your heart, let the word in so you can grow up and be good citizens and know how to live this life with integrity and morals. And he didn't say you weren't going to mess up. That's impossible. But he said with him, you can live this life with integrity and grow up and have a house built by the Father God. Amen. And he was telling us about love with the family. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So now turn with me to Romans chapter 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Verse 4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou may be justified in thy sayings, which you say, and might overcome when thou art judged. But if, verse 5, but if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? If God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. Verse 6, God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God has more abounded through by my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Keep 10 says, as it is written, that there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Well, they were seeking after God, but there was none righteous until you become a child of God. You are unrighteous. I don't care how many good things you do. But once you become a child of God, you become righteous by what Jesus did. It's a free gift given to you. So now you're the righteousness of God. And because of that, you do what you learn how to do what's right rather than what's wrong. You know, you was trained into doing wrong just by mere birth. Excuse me. But once you become born again, your mere birth in the kingdom of God changes you on the inside. When you become changed on the inside, you become a new person, and you do new and righteous things. You're no longer that person that you were before that. And let's drop down to verse 21 on chapter 5 of Romans, chapter 5, verse 21, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so my grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So when you were sin, if you stay in sin, you're so you're already dead. You're a dead man walking it, so to speak, that cliche. But when you become righteousness, you become alive and you have life on the inside of you through Jesus Christ when you become born again. And that's a blessing. That's a free gift from God through his son Jesus, what he did on the cross for us. So that you're no longer dead in your sins, but you're alive. You became alive by the Spirit of God that dwells within you. So that's it happens on the inside. You don't see anything on the outside, but it's all on the inside. Now let's go to St. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And if you, like my mom, know how to make a garden and grow trees, fruit trees, sometimes she prunes the trees and cut it back. Sometimes you see people are cut back sometimes. They get being pruned. Not so that they could be just taken away, but once you prune it, it brings much fruit. That same person you think just lost something or been taken away from, after a while you'll see them come back with much more if they've been pruned it from God. It's a difference if you just cut off because you did a lot of sin. You're not going to come back with no blessings and fruit. Hallelujah. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I told you about me speaking mere words, you become clean in your conscience. Clean on your inner man. You're a clean person now. You're the righteousness of God. You're no longer unrighteous. You're no longer called a sinful person. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. So if you are, like I said, my grandmother, my mom, she loves flowers. If you break off that branch from the trunk of the tree and from the root, it has no more sap coming through that vine to get nourishment. Same if we cut off ourselves from God and that branch falls to the ground, it just shrivel up and die. Same with us. If we just cut ourselves off from God, you shrivel up and die. So you remain connected to your source, which is God. He said, remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We can't do nothing without God. And God has blessed me tremendously. I just look back over my life, you know, you might say, you know, I have always been an honor student. That's unusual because I've seen so many young people do things that are really outlandish things. But I always stayed and was educated with the best. And not only that, once I lived in California, I went to the best schools. I mean, the best schools, having a golf course. I was on the tennis team. and our school looked like a college campus. So, and by me having that, you know, in certain states you have better education than you do in others. But I was able to get also in South, I was able to get the heritage part, which showed me how certain cultural aspects come together. So with those joined together, I have a mighty strong educational background, and I'm grateful that for that. Just in my lifestyle, I, by traveling to places that we read, my father traveled the world. I'm just a blessed woman. So I guess that's why God has me to call. They always talk about God don't call the ones that are qualified, but sometimes I think he does. I think he calls people both. He loves everybody, whether you're qualified or not. Not that I'm qualified to give you life. That's not me. God's through me, speaking through me even right now, the Holy Ghost is. But he gave me this lifestyle that, you know, today, especially today's society, people are not wanting to do the right thing. They want to live any kind of way. No morals, no ethics, tell lies, and don't care. Don't care about one another. Don't have love for one another. No compassion. That has to stop. You can't be counted on. Don't have word. The word of God is important. Your word should be important. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, if you tell them you love them, you should do that. You should love them. But today, people are foolish. They tell lies. They hurt people. That's not God. God is about love. Amen. Let's go back to this. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing, and we can't do nothing. And I'm so glad that he's with us. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. I just spoke of that. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And that's why I talk about God's word. God's word is powerful. If you ask what you will, it will be done for you. 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so ye be my disciples. As the Father, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So I'm telling you, God is a God of love. We're about to have Valentine's Day next week. Just remember the first true love came from our Father God. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit, these three are one, the Trinity. Verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus had to keep God's commandments. So we're no greater than him. We got to keep God's commandments and his love. You know, it's his grace is sufficient. But that's not meaning that we can just go out and do anything we want to bad. You know, do some good things for one another. Try to show kindness toward one another, love, and stop trying to take advantage of people. God, if God called you to do a job, do it with your whole heart, and don't try to take advantage of someone just because they are Christian. You know, some people, when they find out you're a Christian, they want to slack up on the job. No, you got to do well because your good name comes from how you do. Amen? Amen. Let's do good work. Let's bring the Lord's name up. Exalt God. These things have I spoken to, well, verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. See, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and it does not come from the world, whether you have houses, lands, cars, family, friends. That's, you know, great, and we all want that. But your joy doesn't come from that. It comes from the word of God and from God. And your joy remains full. That's how come you can see some people happy no matter what's going on. Because God gives them a joy, unspeakable joy. Hallelujah. You'll be happy and people will be trying to figure out, how he's so happy. Why? Well, you're happy because your joy comes from the Lord. And then some people have all those things of sad and depressed and unhappy and oppressed. Just remember, I like comfort. I like nice things, expensive things, quality things, but that's not where my joy comes from. It comes from the Lord. And if you are a person like that, you'll never be that type of person to try to take advantage of other people. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. God wants us to love one another. We're hearing about people killing, police killing, people killing one another, robbing people and all. God don't want that to happen. That's the devil. He's the enemy, and he makes these folks do these things. But when we walk in love and show, let our light so shine, they're saying, what's something different about them? They might want what we have. And if we're doing the same thing, they're not going to want it. And I know it's kind of hard because the enemy is tricky. That's his job, to be tricky. But what we got to do is continue to walk in love. Amen. Verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Hallelujah. Jesus laid down his life for us. So we're just so grateful for that. Verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So he say, if we do what he say and he can tell us to do, then we his friends. We got to obey God. See, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So, you know, if you have a listening ear, you can hear from God. And God will tell Jesus, and Jesus tell us, and God, we can go straight to the Father now. We don't have to go through the priest, which I taught on the last time about the inner courts, the outer courts, and how they did in the tent, set up the tent, and only the priest can go in annually one time a year. And if he was wrong, then he'll die, and they have to pull him out by his string, you know, because nothing unholy could go before the Lord. But now, because of what Jesus did, forever, we can go to Father God anytime we want to. Hallelujah. He calls us friends. I'm just grateful to that, for God calling me friend. He said, henceforth I called you not servants, for the servants know it's not what his Lord's doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. See, I was chosen by God to do this today. But I have chosen you and ordained you. I was ordained by God, not man, but by God, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So I ask Father God for a lot of things he already know in Jesus' name. And I decree it, I have it, and I receive it, and I believe it. Amen. Glory to God. These things, verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. That's a commandment, that we love one another. I mean, just because you're telling people right and wrong doesn't mean you don't love them. That means you do. I mean, you can let people do wrong, and they go ahead and be doing wrong, and people be looking at them crazy all the time because they don't know that they're doing wrong. But by me taking out my time, or your teachers or your family, your parents teaching you what's right and what's wrong, you know, when you go out, people can see respect, and they like that about you. You got to know how to handle yourself in life wherever you go. I've traveled a lot of places alone, and I'm able to handle myself in any situation. And that's a blessing, because a lot of people don't know how to do that. I'm not talking about frustration. We all get angry, frustrated, or have emotions going. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about overall knowing how to conduct yourself with integrity. Okay, now, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And we say that because sometimes people don't like us because of what we do for the Father God, and they hate you. And that's the devil in them. They don't realize it, but they hated Father God. They hate Jesus. But that's all right, because we win. We got the victory in Jesus' name. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word, verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. Verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for his name's sake, because they know that not him that sent me. They don't know the Lord. verse 22, if I have not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sins. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none of other men